A priest was walking down the streets of New York City, and all of a sudden he heard the words, "Stick him up," and he felt a gun in his back. And the robber said, "Turn around slowly and hand me your wallet." So the priest turned around very slowly, and then the robber realized it was a Catholic priest. He was dressed as a priest. He says, "Oh, Father, I couldn't take your wallet." And, oh, the priest was so relieved, but his nerves were badly shaken, so he took out a pack of cigarettes, lit up a cigarette to calm his nerves, and he offered one to the robber. He said, "Would you like to have one?" The robber said, "Sorry, Father, I gave up smoking for Lent." That does indicate that sometimes we miss the big picture during Lent. We give up little things, which is good. We should be giving up little things. What about the big things? Love of God, increasing our love for the Lord, increasing our love for your spouse and neighbor and children, trying to be more merciful and loving towards family members, more patient with them, bringing peace, love, and joy into the home. The big picture, following the Ten Commandments, going to church every Sunday. See, that's the most important thing we can do during Lent, is to look at the big picture, make sure we're following the commandments and following the teachings of Christ and the church. I remember once I was at a restaurant and a waitress, she saw I was a priest, and she says, "Oh, Father, this is Lent, and I'm giving up chocolate for Lent." I said, "That's a wonderful thing." I said, "What church do you go to?" She says, "Well, I haven't been to Mass in many years." The same idea. It's good to give up chocolate during Lent, but what about going to Mass every Sunday? What about following the commandments? We should take a look at Lent for a few moments today, since it is the first Sunday of Lent, and look at the origin of Lent and some of the traditions that help us to grow in holiness during this season. The word Lent comes from the Old English word, the Anglo-Saxon word lengthen, which means spring or springtime, because Lent is always during that period from winter into spring. And it should be, though, a time of spiritual growth for us, a springtime for our faith, a springtime that we can grow in our love of God and our prayer life. The origin of Lent originally began as catechumens, the unbaptized adults, were preparing for Easter. And during the time before Easter, they would spend time in prayer and penance and fasting to prepare their souls to be baptized and to receive the Eucharist for the first time. Eventually, this period of preparation before Easter was extended to the whole church. 40 days were chosen because the Lord spent 40 days in prayer and fasting in the desert, as we read in today's Gospel. Also, 40 was a very important number in Scripture. Elijah fasted 40 days on his journey to Mount Horeb. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai. The Israelites spent 40 years wandering through the desert. So 40 is a very important number. Somebody the other day just asked me, "Father, they counted the days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, and it was 46 days. How do I explain that?" Well, you don't count Sundays. Because every Sunday, the six Sundays, they're little Easters. Every Sunday is the day of the Lord, the day of the resurrection. So they don't count as days of prayer and penance and fasting during Lent. So, for example, that might be good news to the kids if they gave up ice cream during the week. They'd be allowed to have that on a Sunday. Give up desserts during the week. You still have your 40 days of prayer and penance during Lent. You can have that on Sunday. Now, if you give up gossip, for Lent, you don't think you can do it on Sunday, okay? But if you give up something good, then you're allowed to have it on Sunday. Now, Lent is a penitential season. It's a very solemn season. That's why we wear the purple vestments to remind us, the violet vestments to remind us of penance. We do not sing the Alleluia during Lent unless it's a special feast day, let's say like the Annunciation. We don't have the Gloria said or sung during Lent. We don't have flowers in the church. And during about the last week or so of Lent, we even cover the statues with a purple cloth to remind us of the hidden glory that awaits us in heaven. And just to cover it temporarily, to show the sign of mourning for the Lord being in the tomb. And then, of course, when the statues are unveiled, the joy of the resurrection and the resurrected glory of the saints. I remember as a Montessori kid growing up and whatever, 8 years old, every Ash Wednesday they would take this Alleluia. They had like an Alleluia, and we would bury that on Ash Wednesday, and then you dig it up on Easter. So the idea of burying those special aspects of the resurrection and then experiencing that at Easter. Now the day before Ash Wednesday is called Shrove Tuesday, from the Old English word shriven, which means confession, which reminds us that so many people would go to confession before Lent would begin, or certainly during the season of Lent. The idea of Mardi Gras and Carnival came up as well before Lent, because Ash Wednesday was considered a new season for the church, and so people would have a sort of a New Year's Eve party the day before. Mardi Gras, coming from the French, referring to Fat Tuesday. It came to New Orleans from France. It's a shame that that's become so pagan and hedonistic. But the idea is good, to celebrate, to have a nice meal, to have a nice steak dinner, for example, on Fat Tuesday, to prepare for the farewell to some of these luxuries. The word carnival comes from the word meaning farewell to meat. Farewell to meat. The idea, again, of giving this up during the Lenten season. Again, it's a shame that these things have become so secularized and pagan. But the idea, the original idea, was good. The sort of the New Year's Eve party before the penitential season of Lent. We begin Lent with Ash Wednesday. The palms from the previous Palm Sunday are burned, and those ashes are placed on our forehead. And we hear those words, "Remember, man, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return." Or, "Turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel." The idea of putting ashes on our head goes back to the Old Testament, to the Hebrews. The Israelites, they would, during times of repentance, they would put on sackcloth and put ashes on their head as a sign of repentance, an act very pleasing to God. Then, during Lent, it's recommended the Stations of the Cross. As I mentioned on Ash Wednesday, the tradition is that our Blessed Mother was the one who began the Stations of the Cross. After the Lord's death and resurrection and ascension to heaven, she would be seen walking through the streets of Jerusalem, stopping at each point where Christ fell, or where he met Simon of Cyrene, or the holy women. And other people began to walk along with Our Lady. And pretty soon, this became a custom to stop at the 14 Stations of the Cross. When it became too dangerous for Christians to go to the Holy Land because of the wars, the Stations of the Cross were then brought back to Europe by the Crusaders. The idea of making the Stations of the Cross outdoors in shrines, and then in the 18th century they were allowed in churches. And so now we don't have to travel to Jerusalem to make the way of the cross. We can do it in our own church every Friday evening. And one last interesting tradition that came up during Lent was the invention of the pretzel. See, pretzels were accepted as a Lenten snack because they were just made with flour, salt, and water. They didn't have the eggs and all the fat and all those things that people would give up. And so they would make these pretzels, roll up the dough, and put them into a shape of a praying, arms folded in prayer. And in fact, the word braccelle in Latin means little arms. So pretzels were invented by Christians during the Lenten season as acceptable snacks. And then, of course, they became widespread throughout the world year-round. So Lent should be a time for us of prayer, of fasting, of almsgiving. And when we think of almsgiving, we should especially try to live out the acts of mercy, the spiritual and corporal acts of mercy, helping to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the imprisoned, bury the dead. So we do hope and pray that this Lent will be a time of holiness, a time of conversion, repentance, confession, where we first and foremost look at the big picture to make sure that we're following the commandments, following the teachings of the church, and trying to increase our love of God and neighbor. God bless you.